You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
It is a great schus to have been asked by Rav Leibovitz Becker and the offices of Agudas Yisrael to come to speak on this topic, which is perhaps one of the most important topics in Klal Yisrael. I just want to acknowledge the presence of three people that are very, very dear and very choshev to me. All of you are choshev, but Rabbi Yitzchak Wasserman from Denver, Colorado, and his Rebbetzin have made a special trip to the convention. It's always special to see them. Rabbi Yaman Moskowitz, the Rosh Shiva from Eretz Yisrael, it's always so special when he comes in from Eretz Yisrael. And there's a young man, Moshe Pagro, who deserves recognition, who has done so much for the Shidduch situation. Moshe, are you here? Well, he was here a few moments ago. And he and I literally share a backyard. And David should bench him and bench all those that are involved in this very serious situation of Shidduchim. Chazal teach us in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Ein Meshadchin Es Hatinoikos La'Areis. When it comes on Shabbos, you're not supposed to make a shidduch, get involved and try to engage your daughters or talk about shidduchim on Shabbos. That's what Beis Shammai says. However, Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to read shidduchim on Shabbos. And it's very interesting what Rashi tells us. Rashi says, Ein Meshadchin, why does Beis Shammai hold that you're not allowed to read shidduchim on Shabbos? He says, because the pasuk tells us, Mimtsoi Cheftzecha. On Shabbos, you have to be careful not to be involved in your own personal matters. The pasuk is, V'chibadatoi, you're supposed to give kovod to Shabbos. Me'asois Derachecha, don't do your regular mannerisms that you do throughout the week. Mimtsoi Cheftzecha V'daber Dova. But rather, you be involved in things that are halig, things that are mitzvahs. So Beis Hillel says, that's the reason why I hold that you're allowed to talk on Shidduchim. And I love what Rashi says, what Hillel's Svara is. Because the Pasuk says, Mimtzoi Cheftzecha, you can't talk about your own personal matters, but not V'loi Cheftzei Shamayim, not Himmelzachen. That means that according to Rashi and according to Beis Hillel, a Shidduch is a Himmelzach. And what we are involved tonight is Heiliga things, Heiliga and Yonim, that are Cheftzei Shamayim, that have reverberations, not only for our generations, but for the future generations until Mashiach. And that's why Beis Hillel says, on Shabbos, you're allowed to read Shidduchim, because it's Cheftzei Shamayim. But you take a look at the Ran, it's very interesting. The Ran says, where does the word Shidduchim come from? And he says, it comes from the word in Tanakh. In the Novi of Shoftim, it tells us that there was a period of war. And after the period of war, Vatishkoit Ha'oretz Arboim Shana, there was peace, there was tranquility in the land for 40 years. And the Ran says, take a look at the Targum. The Targum is Ushedoichas Ara. There was peace and tranquility. Could you believe the word Shidduchim means peace and tranquility? And the Ran says, and he explains, because that's really what every person is supposed to find in marriage, peace and tranquility. And that's what he says. Sha'isha moitzas bebeiz bala, sheket uvenucha, quiet, peace, tranquility. That's what the ideal Shidduch is all about. So that's wonderful about Shidduchim after marriage. But the Ran wasn't talking about before marriage. Because obviously today, the parsha of Shidduchim is anything but peaceful and anything but tranquility. I like to believe that the parsha of Shidduchim today, for so many hundreds of thousands around the world, are the three C's. It starts with a concern. You're concerned for your son, you're concerned for your daughter, they should find the right one. And then when it doesn't happen right away, it becomes another sea. It becomes a challenge. And then you're really getting nervous. And then finally, it becomes a crisis. And these three things, the concern, the challenge, and the crisis of Shidduchim, is what we've come to talk about tonight. Now, if you think back over the last 25 years, you will see that Klal Yisrael, and perhaps specifically in America, that we have accomplished tremendous, tremendous things in three different areas. The first area is in Shmiras HaLashon. Could you imagine, if you think back 25 years ago, was there such a Dogash Chazak on Shmiras HaLashon? Today we know that our children are 10 times more careful in Shmiras HaLashon than we were when we were growing up. Today, Baruch Hashem, you have the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, Michael Rothschild, who got started through the help of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. The videos that go out just on Tisha B'Av alone are seen by 60,000 people around the world. There's a Dogash Chazak, there's books and Svarim. Of course, the Chavetz Chaim started it. But in the last 25 years, we've made so many inroads in Shmiras HaLashon. The second thing is in Daf Yomi. Could you imagine, you think 30, 40 years ago, people were learning Daf Yomi the way they learn it today? We had 100,000 people at MetLife Stadium. Tens of thousands around the world are learning Daf Yomi. That's only in the last 25 years. And the third thing is Kirov Rechaikim. Who thought about Kirov Rechaikim 25 years ago? Nobody thought about it. Nobody was involved in it. And today you have organizations all over the world, and hundreds of thousands have been inspired. Everybody feels that an achrayus to be makar of other people. So you take a look at these three projects of Shmiras HaLashon, Daf Yomi, and Kirov Rechaikim. We've accomplished a tremendous amount. Now the new frontier is Shiduchim. Just like we accomplished a tremendous amount for Shmiras HaLashon, Daf Yomi, and Kirov Rechaikim, we have to make a Dogash Chazak, every single one of us. Every single one of us is involved in Shmiras HaLashon. The men are involved in learning, and everybody's involved in Kirov Rechaikim. Every single person that's here tonight, and everyone that will see this video around the world on TorahAnytime.com, this is going to be tomorrow in Argentina, Chile, and Mexico. Everyone who watches these videos, everyone who hears these CDs, must from tonight on be involved in Shiduchim. Are we going to solve the problem? I'll tell you. There's still a lot of people talking Lashon Hara. There's still a lot of people that are not from. And there's still a lot of people that don't learn Daf Yomi. But hundreds of thousands have improved in all those. And that's what our goal is. You can't say we're going to wipe out the problem. It's probably impossible. But we're going to make a difference. And what we're going to talk about is the importance of making a difference and how every single one of you, without fail, every single one of you can be involved in making a difference. And the truth is that things can change. Rav Heinemann, please. Every single one of us can make a difference. I want to tell you what happened a number of years ago. I see my dear friends, the Blaus here. They know that we went on a trip together to Europe. And when I went to the cave of Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, I noticed that he is buried right next to his wife, and his wife was 4 years older than him. And I couldn't get over it. And I did the research and I found out that when he was going out, people asked him, how could you get engaged to a girl that's so much older than you? And he said, for what I have to accomplish in life, I can't marry a child. And therefore, that's why he married a girl that was older than him. Could the women sit back a little bit so the men could sit up over here or someplace? Or maybe on this side. And so therefore, when I came back, I was so nisragish from that. There was a Termasura convention. And that year, my slot to speak at the Termasura convention was Shalosh Shudis. There were 700 women there. And I said that from now on, we have to know that there's no such thing. It doesn't make a difference, the age, whether the boy is older, the girl is older. It makes no difference. You see, Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch accomplished so much, and his wife was four years older than him. A few weeks later, I get a call from a woman in Lakewood. Her name is Mrs. Lvovitz. And she says, Rabbi Krohn, I want you to know that I was at that speech. I have never gone to a Termasura convention. This is the first year, I'm a Mechaneches for years, this is the first year that I went. And when you said that Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch married a girl that was 4 years older than him, my son is supposed to go out with a certain girl. And she was older, and I didn't want to tell my son about that before he even went out. He hasn't gone out with her. And then I found out in my research that she's a great-granddaughter of Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch. So I said to my son, he's got to go out with her. And they just got engaged. So now, Mazel Tov is right. So now, not only did I get a call from her, and I got a call from the other side, And a year later, they had a little baby. They called me to do the bris. And what did they name the baby? Sham Shom Afal. Now, I heard that. So then by the Chofetz Chaim video, I spoke about it for 60,000 people. And then it started. Today, from that time on, which is a number of years ago, over 750 shidduchim have been made where the girls are older. And there's nothing wrong. As we're going to talk, the girls that are older are more mature. They make better mothers. They make better wives. They make better friends. And they make more money. Because they're, right? Because they're experienced already in the labor force. And so now all the great shadchanim, everybody that's involved in shidduchim, nobody is hesitant at all now to read a shidduch. I'm not talking about a girl that's 10 or 15 years older. I'm talking 2-3 years older. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. If the boy is mature and the girl is a little older, it makes no difference. And we can make a difference. Now, it's hard for me to believe this, but I did the cheshbon. It was 22 years ago that I had the opportunity to give one of my first speeches at the Aguda Convention. In those days, we were in Parsippany. And my topic was preparing your children for marriage. It turned out to be hysterical, if you want to get the CD. But well, besides that. But one of the things that I said is that I believe Agudas Yisrael has to have a full-time shadchan working for Klal Yisrael. Nothing happened after that convention as far as that. But then the ball started rolling, and eventually it came up again, and Agudas Yisrael started in Vehagefen, and then we got a new queen in Klal Yisrael. That queen is Mrs. Frumi Schiffenbauer. Anybody who knows who she is knows that it's so true. I see everybody who knows her nodding their heads. Frumi Schiffenbauer told me the other day, I called her, and she told me that now Inve HaGefen had to change its name. Why? Because there were many people supporting it, and the Novominska Rebbe and Shmublum came to Frumi and said, listen, you know, people are giving you money, and they think they're giving to HaGudas Yisrael, they're not giving us. So, you know, you got to change your name. You can't be associated with HaGudas Yisrael. We give you the blessing. So now they have a new name, Binyan Adayad. I want you to write down their telephone number because they have 8 full-time shadchanim, and over the last couple of years, they've made 1,000 shidduchim. 1,000 shidduchim in Ve'agefen and Binyan Adayad. There's no reason why your daughter, your niece, your son, your nephew can't be among the next 1,000. The number is 718-256-7525. Yeah, sure. 718-256-7525. Now, I want to show you something. I know many of you know this already, but the first time that it was shown to me by Moshe Pargro, my mouth dropped open, and I became speechless. And for me to become speechless is a very big accomplishment. But listen to this. I want to show you what the problem is. If 23-year-old boys are always going to go out with 19-year-old girls, that's really when we were going out, you know, everybody did that, right? Everybody, you know, was a 5-year age difference. That was normal. But I want to show you something that if you've never seen this, you will absolutely be shocked. You see, I'm a male, and people only call me about the boys. But I'm telling you, the exact same amount of boys are born every year as girls. There's no more girls than boys. That's a fallacy. Every single year, the exact same amount of boys are born as girls. The only difference is that every year, Klal Yisrael has more children. So watch this if you can follow it. In, let's say, the year 1992, 10,000 boys were born, 10,000 girls were born. In 1993, 10,500 boys were born, 10,500 girls. In 1994, 11,000, 11,000, 1995, 11,500, 11,500, 1996, 12,000, 12,000. Now, watch this. What happens in the year 2015? The kid who was born in 1992, he's 23 years old. He's one of the 10,000 boys. He's looking for a girl that's 5 years younger than him. That girl, she's in the pool of 12,000. How in the world can 10,000 boys marry 12,000 girls? It's impossible. That's the reason, one of the reasons why we have to close the age gap. It's not that there's more girls than boys. It's that we're encouraging boys to marry such young girls. That's wrong. It's not going to solve all the problems, but it certainly is going to solve for those 750. You got it? Good. For those 750 shidduchim They're very happily married, most of them, the way I understand. Because the girls are more mature, the girls make better mothers, they make better wives. As we said, they're more advanced in the economic field. So that's a wonderful thing. Again, are we going to solve every problem that way? No. But we're going to solve hundreds. And the biggest shadchanim in Lakewood and other places, they have no hesitation. Now let me tell you why every single one of us must be involved. It was mentioned dozens of times this Shabbos, this Heilige Shabbos together, how much we all want Mashiach. You know what the Gemara says? If you never heard this, it'll be so startling. It's a Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Hey, Amar Aleph. Ein ben David bo. Mashiach is not coming, ad sheyichlu neshamois shebeguf. You know what that means? Rashi explains. When Hashem first created the world, he opened up a place called Guf. That's a chamber, like a big box. And he put all the neshamas that are ever going to be born into that chamber. And until all those neshamas come out, Mashiach's not coming. Ein ben David bo achayichu neshamas shebeguf. That means the more marriages there are, the more children will be born, and therefore Mashiach will come faster. Every single one of us wants Mashiach. Every one of us should be involved in reading Shaduchim, because that's how we're going to help bring Mashiach, by bringing more children into this world. Now here's something frightening. Again, if you never heard this, it's going to hit you to the core, because we're all going to have to answer. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, that after 120 years, and nobody lives forever, after 120 years, we're going to be asked certain questions. And one of the questions that we are going to be asked, and watch the Lashon of the Gemara, is, Osakto, were you involved b'piri of Rivia? The simple meaning of the Gemara is piri of Rivia means having children. Were you involved in having children? The Masha says that's not what it means. Otherwise, the Gemara would have said kiyamta. There's seats. Come. This it would have said kiyamta piri of Rivia. Were you makayim piri of Rivia? Did you have children? That's not what it means. That's not what you're going to be asked. You know what you're going to be asked? Did you get involved in marrying off a Yosim and a Yosima? And you know what I believe the Mashiach means? Not only those that don't have parents. And we know so many of the organizations. Mrs. Lieberman is here. She knows she's involved with links like I am. And we try to help these Yosimim and Yosimais. Anybody, any Balchuba that doesn't have a network like most of us have, they are, in a sense, verbal Yosimim and Yosimais. Did anybody read a shidduch to them? Anybody care for them? I want to read you something very painful. I want to read you a letter that I got from a woman in London. She writes like this. Rabbi Krohn, I am now 26 and I'm still looking for my bashert. And yet I understand and appreciate that for some reason this is my nisayon. That for some reason I was meant to wait while all my friends, one by one, are getting married and now Baruch Hashem have children. Rabbi Krohn, this in itself would be hard to bear, but the attitudes of others make it insufferable. There are so many who are insulting. You're being picky. Are you sure you know what you want? You don't know what a Jewish home is all about. Rabbi Krohn, I come from a wonderful Jewish home. I have wonderful Jewish parents, but I have to sit and listen politely because maybe this person will suggest a shidduch. And then there are those who ignore me. Nobody realizes how embarrassing it is to have to ring up perfect strangers and to ask for help. How many humiliating situations I've found myself in, and how when I'm far away from home, how difficult it is to make plans for every Shabbos week in and week out. I honestly try to live my life b'simcha, to keep a smile on my face, to bring cheer to those around me, to laugh and to keep others laughing. Oh, if only those around me would have an inkling of the deep pain and the bitter suffering. Rabbi Krohn, I've heard you mention so often how sensitive one has to be to others. If you could only stress just one more time, I can't believe that people would be so cruel if they realized how painfully difficult it is to be single in a frum world. And then Rebbetzin Youngreis, who I call the grandmother of Klal Yisrael today, she gave me a copy of a letter that somebody sent her. I want to read you two paragraphs. This girl wrote to the Rebbetzin, there's an additional problem, insensitivity and hurtful remarks. The story writes, this past Yom Kippur during the rabbi's speech before Nila, somebody came over to me to ask that I send my shidduch information. She had thought of someone appropriate for me. Wow, I thought, Hashem's surely acting fast right after Yom Kippur. But we're heading into the winter now. I haven't heard from that person. Couldn't she have called or at least emailed me? She picked me up only to drop me like a hot potato. Additionally, she took my time away during the last moments of Yom Kippur when I could have been saying Tillim. For what? It's admirable and noble to want to help with Shidduchim, but be serious. Don't just drop names to somebody because you think it shows that you're doing something. Unless you have a concrete plan or serious information, don't talk about it. If you mention someone, follow it up. Don't leave anyone hanging. Your life might not depend on it, but ours does. Spend time, network with everyone that you know. It's simpler than ever with email and text messaging. You can't imagine how many potential shidduchim can be made by asking people if they know somebody suitable. Bring it up at a simcha, after davening, in shul. Call relatives and you'll see. Find a friend out of town or community and get involved. These girls and the boys are in tremendous, tremendous pain. So I want to tell you what I've proposed. I believe that every one of us should walk around with these cards, and hopefully I brought enough for everyone. Take these cards, and I designed these cards, and what I feel very strongly, here are blue cards for boys and pink cards for girls. Now, if every shidduch, every young man or young woman that you know, even if they're divorced or whatever, alman and almana, write them down on a card and keep it with you. And next time you talk to somebody, give them that card and say, listen, I know this person. My number is here. You could use me as a reference. Here, I know this person. Maybe you know somebody for them. And you keep these in a box in your house and call it a matchbox. Okay? And you know what I would like to propose? I would like to propose that there's a time in Klal Yisrael when we should do the exchanging of these cards. And that's at the first course of every wedding. That is the biggest waste of time ever. By the time they come down for pictures, you know, I don't want to say what I say, but okay, whatever. But by the time they come down for pictures and the first dance, every table should have these. Every table. That's what I want to start doing. I want to call caterers to put these out on the table. Now, there was one, a chassan and kala, and both sides. They told me I should speak at the chuppah, and I actually spoke at a chuppah, and they gave out these cards. But you know something? I would suggest, you know, we have such great songwriters, whether it's Benny Friedman, Baruch Levine, or A.B. Rottenberg. They should write a song about Reading Shidduchim. And after a while, the whole Klal Yisrael will be singing it. And that's what the band should play. As soon as everybody sits down, it'll be a reminder. Everybody has these cards. Give out these cards. Why not? It's such a simple thing to do. Carry the cards with you. Write down the names of people that you know. You have everything over here, whether the yeshivish or chassidish or whatever, working, modern, balchuva, whatever, single, divorced, widowed, children, high, tall, whatever, and then the age. But underneath the age, you got to write down what year you're writing it, because the girl doesn't remain 26 forever. So if she's 26, you know, you got to write it down that you wrote it in 2015. But keep these cards. It's a practical way of reminding yourself and others about the people that you know. And I guarantee you, by next year, Mitzvah Hashem, if we, Taka, make this a chelik of Klal Yisrael, give them out at the weddings, and people will get them, and you have my permission, copy them, make hundreds of copies, give it out to everyone in every community, no matter where you live, from Los Angeles, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Chicago, we have people from all over, Baltimore, whatever. Give them out in the shuls, let everybody walk around with them. Carry them with you. And I guarantee you 100 shidduchim may be made from now until next year, Mitzvah Hashem. Do you know that statistics show that 70% of dates are made by private people? We think that only the shadchanim are reading shidduchim. It's not true. 70% of shidduchim that are read are by private people. You have a cousin, you have a friend, you have a nephew, you have a niece. So if that's not the case, every one of us has to read Shidduchim. Every one of us, especially those that David to bless, that you're able to marry off your children. You have an achrayas gadol to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Now here I want to show you what they do in Baruch Park. Chassidish people, I was there myself. It's hard to believe this. It's called the Shidduch Gabbai. You wouldn't believe. Chassidish guys started this in many, many shuls in Baruch Park. Every shul, there's no reason why every shul in America shouldn't have a Shidduch Gabbai. Now, these guys, what this Shidduch Gavai does is he keeps a name and a file of every single person in that shul that's available for Shidduchim. Young, older, divorced, whatever it is. And then these Gaboyim got together. I've come to those meetings. I'm telling you, I'm the only guy without a beard and without an upturned hat, without a gartel. I'm telling you. They're all Shidduch guys. And you should see, you know, like whatever, and they go back and forth, and they've read many, many Shidduchim. Isn't that a great idea? A Shidduch Gabbai in every shul. And in certain shuls, if you want, you could have a lady Gabbai, you know, for the women, and a man Gabbai for the men, whatever. And people get together. They get together once a month. Let's make it Rosh Chodesh. The second Monday in every month, or whatever, the second Tuesday in every month. Should be that's when the Shidduchim, what the Shadchanim get together. The shul Gabbaiim. The shul Shidduch Gabbai. That's an idea that's practical. We could all do it, and it could be implemented. And you'll see Shidduchim will happen from it. And certainly dates will happen from it. And I'll tell you a little secret. You know what made me think of that idea of marrying older girls? I had such rachmanis on those girls, 25, 26, 27. It never occurred to me in my life that it would really work. I just wanted them to get dates. I just wanted them to go out. Because, you know, if they don't go out, they feel like nobody cares. They're girls from wonderful families that haven't gone out in months. You know what that does to a girl? They don't get calls, nothing. I figured, okay, like this, maybe they'll be back in the pool, they'll go out. Who believed that 750 Shidduchim would happen from that? Now, many of you certainly know the name Nasi. Nasi is the project of Rabbi Moshe Prager, who I said is a dear friend of mine. Literally, we share the same backyard. He knows that I don't agree with everything that he does, but listen, that's Klal Yisrael. But many of the ideas that he has are great ideas, and there's no reason why they can't be implemented. And I want to tell you some of them. Any girl that comes from out of town, Chicago, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, wherever you come from, if you're going out with a boy in New York, you've got to convince the shadchan that you're ready to come in for a date. One of the reasons that many girls out of town do not get shidduchim is because the boys feel they're not going to come in. Now, of course, after the second date, the boy will go out. Will go out with, you know, he'll go fly to Chicago, Milwaukee, or Los Angeles, wherever he has to go. But if a girl is telling the shadchan, listen, I've got school, I've got work, there's nothing more important than your daughter and your niece and that girl getting married. If she has to take off a day of school, so she'll come late. And she has to miss a morning of work, well, imagine that something came up that was very important. There's nothing more important than that. The Shadchanim have to know that a girl out of town is willing to come in for the first two dates. No questions asked. Because the Shadchanim get hundreds of calls. So why are they going to choose somebody that's going to be difficult? That's the first thing. The second thing is that you should set up a meeting with the Shadchan for all the girls out of town. Let the Shadchan come to out of town, meet those people, those perspectives, and if you have a shul gabbai, he could come and meet the young men if they want to. And then, like this, they have a whole pool of what to choose from. The third thing is get back to the shadchan right away. Within 48 hours, if your child goes out with someone, get back to the shadchan. Then you know very well whether they're interested or not in going out a second time. And the shadchan, they complain, listen, I've got 100 calls. You don't want to get back to me. You don't forget about it. I'm you know, if you don't care, I don't care. You've got to get back to the shadchan, and we've got to get the lights on. Another thing is that when a shadchan calls, put their name in your contact list. So when they call you, you're going to answer. You've got to be available. You have to answer right away because they have many, many calls. Now, here's another thing that Moshe Prager feels very strongly about. I'm not sure that it's implementable, but if it is, and I understand it, I understand this point. That if you, anybody who reads a shidduch, and they go out three or four times, even if it doesn't work, you should be sending something to that person. If they go out three or four times, you owe them a couple hundred dollars. Now, whatever that is, you could make it up. But imagine that. I mean, I know my wife is a principal, the Hebrew principal of Sheva High School. So, of course, many, many times she gets calls to be a reference for a girl that was in the high school a couple years ago. And she's read many shidduchim. But you know how many hours, those of you who have read Shidduchim, know how many hours you're on the phone until you finally get somebody to go out once and twice or a third time? that person who's reading the shidduch is entitled to some compensation. And if they know that you're interested in paying for it, again, you're not going to give them an astronomical amount, obviously, but it shows that you care. It shows that you're interested. And here's another thing, which is so important. When you read a shidduch that makes sense. You know how many people, I've never made a shidduch, never. My record is perfect. 0 out of 1,000. Mamash, perfect. But one thing I will tell you, every single date that I ever set up, or chazakala, every boy and girl that I set up, young man, young woman, nobody had a taina, like, where were you coming from? Like, you know, they had no shaychus whatsoever. That's the worst. That's insulting. And I'll give you an example. We have a friend, my wife and I have a friend who lived in Kew Gardens, but she's from Detroit. And then she went back to live in Detroit. She was divorced. And she was coming into New York for a shidduch. So she figured that while she's in from New York, she'll call the shadchan and, you know, maybe she can get a second date. So she calls the shadchan and says, you know, I'm in. She called a different shadchan and said, you know, I'm going to be in this week. Maybe, you know, if you have somebody in mind. Oh, she said, why'd you come in? So she said, well, I'm going out with someone. So some of the shatchanim are very nosy. So they said, who are you going out with? She says, I don't want to say. She said, nah, you can tell me. Don't worry. You can tell me. Look, you know, then I'll see what you're looking for. So she says, oh, I'm going out with this and this guy. The shatchan says, oi vey. She says, what's wrong? No, it's okay. Don't worry. That's fine. Yeah, what do you mean? You make a comment like that? And yeah, you don't tell me? You know, you want that I should tell you who I'm going out with? Now you got to, you know, spill the beans. Well, what's the problem? Well, okay, I'll tell you. He got divorced because he beat his wife. Oh, my gosh. She's going out in 2 hours, and she's going out with a guy who beat his wife? She's a short, little, puny girl. She goes out. They're driving on the highway. It was about, I think, a half hour into the date. He asked her, you got any hobbies? She said, yeah, I'm a black belt in karate. The date ended 10 minutes later. You don't read a shidduch to a guy who divorced because he beat his wife. You don't read those kind of shidduchim. I don't care who he is and how much money he has. If he's a terrible person, you don't read a shidduch. Because you're trying to match up a person who's desperate? That's awful. Here's another one. It's happened in Washington Heights. You wouldn't believe it. This guy comes and he picks up this girl in Washington Heights. You know, many apartment buildings. And this particular apartment building had a doorman. But as he walked her out the door, the doorman wasn't there. So he opened the door. He's a gentleman. She went out first. He walked behind her. And then, you know, by the car, he opened up the door for her. And, you know, she got in. He didn't even start the car. She said to him, you're a Rebbe? He said, yeah. She said, you learn halacha? He said, yeah. He said, don't you know that a boy is not supposed to walk behind a girl? She opens up the door. She goes right back into the apartment house. The doorman is there. He says to the guy as the girl's coming in, I think the date is over. Girls like that, you don't read a shidduch to. You don't read a shidduch to people that are chosedeya. You got to read shidduchim as if it was your own daughter. And that's what I believe the answer is when people ask you, what should you say? You know what you should say? What you want to hear if it's your daughter that you're finding out about. You're finding out about a shidduch. All of a sudden, everybody becomes such a big tzaddik and shmeres al lashon, right? They talk lashon hara day and night, right? Maxim lafi, they do from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning, right? But then when it comes to reading shidduchim, oh, I can't say. I can't. What do you mean you can't say? If it was your son, you'd like to find out, you know, what happened or what's going on with that person or with that family. So what do you look for? What do you look for in shidduchim? The Gemara tells us in Yevamah Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Mosin Nosiv Itza. Slow down. Don't rush into a shidduch. And Rashi says, Hamtein, wait, Achetiv Doik Master, until you check out these people. And you know something? I believe everybody should learn this Rambam, Hilchas Esura Bia, Perik Yutes Halacha Yitzayin. If you see two people, two families that are always arguing, tamid, you see a family that's always argumentative. In every shul you have these people. arguing with the Rav, arguing with the Gabbai, arguing with the grocer, arguing with the principal. Keep away from argumentative people. V'aspona b'yaiser, a guy is a mechutzef, choyshishin lohen, v'roy lihisrachek mehen. You got to keep away from these people. She'elu simone paslos. Should I tell you who I believe you should never read a shirach to? To anybody who blogs. Anybody who blogs and criticizes Gedolim on all these websites, keep away from those nasty people. Because they're hiding. There's one guy, I don't know who he is, but his title just says what he is. His title on the blogs is Hamor Hador. He is. I don't know who he is. If I found out who he was, I wouldn't let my nephew or my grandchild go out with somebody like that. And if you've seen some of these comments, as far as I'm concerned, all these comments should not be allowed on any of these websites. If it was up to me, I would tell all these people that run websites, we will not buy anything that you advertise if you keep those comments on. Okay, I'm not powerful enough. But if it was up to me, no comments. Who dare somebody comment on something that a Rav said or something that an Adam Gadol said? And they hide behind these blogs? These are Roshoyim Arurim. Keep away from these kind of people. Keep away from argumentative people. That's what Chazal are teaching us. And you know something? Many times people pressure a boy and a girl, you know, to finally settle it. Rabik, all the Shalom, used to say that a boy and a girl should go out 8 times. So they once told it to the Satmar Rebbe. Now, you know, by Chassidim, it doesn't work that way. They have different ways of dating and kol hakavod, everything that they should do exactly as the Rebbe said. But when the Rebbe heard it, he said a very sharp pun. Katzti b'chayay b'bnei b'nois ches. It's disgusting to me, those girls who go out 8 times, ches, like number 8. So they told it to Rav Bik. So, you know, he was nobody to hide. He says, Eken ezugen, ez amasadik edishin, ich ben amasadik gitten. You know, he could say it because he's amasadik edishin, but I write gitten, I know what it is. So you can't rush the children. There's another fabulous thing that Rav Pam, Ovo Shalom, always used to say. It's unbelievable. Every week in Tervadas, he used to give a shir on Chumash. And it wasn't open to the public. It wasn't open to alumni. It wasn't open to anybody. It was open to the boys in his class or the Beis Medrash. There was 1 week a year that it was open for everyone, Parshas Chayesara. Because then he spoke about Shiduchim. And all those were taped. I heard them many, many times. People from all over would come. It was packed every year, Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Chayesara. And many years he would say this brilliant shot from the Klei Yoka. We just learned it last week. Parshas Chayesara. Vayomer Avram el Avdoi Zakan Beisai. Avram said to his servant, the elder of his home, that's of course Eliezer, Hamoishel b'chol asheloi, the one who rules over everything that he had. In other words, Eliezer was the financial executive of Avram's possessions. That's his simple meaning. The Klei Yoka says that's not what he believes of Shat is. Hamoishel b'chol asheloi means he ruled over everything that he had. He was in control of his money. Money wasn't in control of him. That's a great lesson. There are people in this room right now that are suffering terrible, terrible things you should never know from it because of money machlokes in the family. It's unbelievable. There's enough money for 10 families. And they still can't figure it out. Awful. People who go after money, you can't trust them in Shiduchim. I always say, if you go for a shidduch for money, after a while, you're going to lose interest. Listen what the Klei Yoka says. What's the reason why Avram trusted Eliezer? He says, Umizeh Hatzad, because of that, he minu l'Eliezer. He trusted Eliezer. Ki yoda shuhu moishal al kol ha-shaloi ve'ein ma'moinei moishal boy. He rules over his money. His money doesn't rule over him. Al kein lo yachrichu hamamayin lasayis bavurai masha'enu roi v'nochayin. So many people marry into wealthy families. They think that they're going to be set. It's crazy. It just means that you just got two new bosses, a father-in-law and a mother-in-law who won't let you live because they're giving you money and they think that they own you. You got to be crazy to marry into money. Baruch Hashem, all, you know something, somebody just asked the stipler, Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, rather, last week, I just saw it. They asked him to give a bracha for Ashiras. So he said, no, I don't want to give such a bracha. I give you a bracha, you shouldn't have to come on to Ashiras. That's the bracha. Money is not the solution to happy married life. We all need money. Everybody has to put money on bread on the table. There's no question. There's no denying it. Everybody has to go out and somehow bring money into the family. That's positive. But one thing is for sure. Chas v'shalom, to marry just because of money. That would be absolutely awful. And I'll tell you another thing. One of the things that's ruining so many shidduchim is the research that people do. The questions that people ask today are just for Purim play, really. I'm telling you, if you would hear some of the questions that I get asked, and I'm not really a shadchan, but I'm sure Moshe Pagro and all the other shadchanim, Mr. Friedman who is here from Lakewood, tremendous shadchan, and I'm sure that they could write books. It's just incredible. A lady actually asked me for her son. I proposed a certain girl. She wanted to know if the girl's younger brothers and sisters have running noses. Could you believe that's a shidduch? That's a shidduch question? Another one wanted to know if they use paper plates for shalashuddas. My favorite one ever, and some of you know that I always tell over this one, it was Friday afternoon, I got a call, and this woman wanted to know if the boy that was being read to her daughter, if he wears loafers or if he wears shoes with laces. Could you imagine? I couldn't get over that question. I had no idea what it meant. It was right before Mincha Erev Shabbos. I ran to the yeshiva in Shaar Torah. And Moshe Pagro knows that in Shaar Torah you have a great guys with great sense of humor. And we tried to figure out what she meant. Here's some of them. So we figured out if she wants maybe loafers because, you know, that's cool, right? Or maybe she wanted to know if the guy's lazy because he doesn't want to tie his shoelaces. That's what she meant. Somebody wanted us to know, maybe he's a masmid. He's got to have only loafers because he has no time to tie his shoes. And another one said, maybe she wanted to know if somebody's shirking mitzvahs because he doesn't want to tie his left shoe first before the right. Well, maybe he's a loafer. Right. There's another thing also that Rapam always used to say. He used to say the Maisa with Bilam and the donkey. And he would always quote this pasuk, and it's a pasuk that's easy to remember where it is. Bamidbar Chavbeis Chavbeis. Vayisyatev Malach Hashem Bederech L'Satan Loi. That the Malach Hashem stood in the way L'Satan Loi means to oppose him. The donkey saw the malach, Bilam didn't see it. So now, l'satan lo means to oppose him. So Rapam said that many times when somebody stands in the way of something that you want to accomplish, you think it's the satan. You think that it's a terrible thing. But Rashi says, malach shalachamim haya. That was the malach of compassion. He wanted to hold him back from doing the Avera. So the opposition of that donkey was the best thing that the Malach was there. It would have helped Bilam, but it just didn't understand it. So Rapam says that the Gemara tells us that you're not supposed to daven for a specific girl or a specific boy. A person shouldn't daven oy and think, oh, if I don't have that girl, that's the end of the world. Or if I don't have that boy, that's the end of the world. No. Sometimes that's the best thing that could ever have happened. Everybody in the family, everybody has situations where they thought that if they would marry that one, that would be absolutely incredible. And then they found out afterwards that if they would have married that person, it would have been absolutely horrendous. Never, ever forget. My daughter went out with someone. it didn't work, whatever, you know, after one date, you know, she saw right away. And I remember my friend called me from Baltimore. I was so moved by his call. He said, "I don't understand. This boy, you know that I know this boy. How could you not call me? I would never have let your daughter go out with him. He's such a terrible, terrible person. His midas are awful. When you have a boy that you know that I know, you must call me because I know these kids." I was so touched that he would care because he knew that, you know, that it was nothing. And sure enough, that boy got married and eventually got divorced. But you can't hide these things. That's terrible. So let's review some of what we said. And then we're just going to end with a fabulous, fabulous story. Let's remember that we're all in it together. We all want to bring Mashiach. Ain ben David bo, achatich la neshama shebaguf. The more marriages you make, the more children will be born. It's so difficult. Of course, we know the shidduchim problem. Shidduchim means quiet and tranquility. That's what the Ran tells us. But that's after marriage. Today, with the three C's of concern, challenge, and crisis, kids are going through so much pain, as you saw from those letters. And believe me, for the boys, it's also painful. And I just want to tell you, I'm involved with a wonderful organization called Sister to Sister. 700 divorced women with children from between the age of 8 to 18. You know what it is? How lonely it is for those divorced women, especially with children, and nobody reads Shidduchim to them. And you know something? Their husbands, whatever they are, they're also lonely. It's not easy to be a single man. Now, again, you have to find out exactly what went on. But if somebody is alone, that's sad. Nobody wants to be alone. And as I said last night, when you go shopping and you're in a store, think about that woman that's home, either an almana or a divorced woman with children, and call them. We have to help these people. They're our brothers and sisters. It's a terrible, terrible machla with divorce today, as was spoken about so many times this Shabbos. And of course, with Shidduchim. There's nothing wrong with encouraging your boy, your nephew, to go out with a girl that's 2 years older. There's nothing wrong. Wonderful, wonderful marriages have happened that way. We've accomplished so much in Shemir Saloshim, Daf Yemi, and Kirv Rechaikim. Every one of you, take these cards. Take them. Copy them. Become a person that read Shidduchim. Write down all the men and women. And I'll tell you a story that happened with me. I have a daughter that, for some reason, this was the one that had the most difficulty with Shidduchim. She's a great girl. Pretty decent family. But, you know, it wasn't helping her at all. And, you know, you start blaming the girl and you start blaming yourself and you start doing all kinds of crazy things and you say things to the child that you really shouldn't say. And I'll never forget one time I said to her, you know, because I was just getting on her case, you know, because she had gone out so many times already with so many different boys. And I said, you know, I just want to apologize. You know, sometimes I just lose myself and I say something to you. Do you know that I love you? She says, "I know you love me." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "Because a million times, ever since I was born, you just walk into a room and say, 'You know, I love you. You make me so, make me feel so proud and so special.'" And I was glad that even that difficult time that I had built up like a bank account with her to make her feel special all the time, because she is a great girl. So then I decided, you know what, maybe it's my fault. You know, I took out a notebook, and every single time that I made a call for my daughter, I made a call for somebody else's daughter to try to read a shidduch, or to try to read a shidduch to somebody's son. And within 3 months, she was engaged, and Baruch Hashem, happily married. David just sees, you care about somebody else, you're going to get helped. Find somebody that's your daughter or your son's age and read a shidduch to them, and you'll see it'll happen. It's not my guarantee, it's the guarantee of Chazal. Let's keep these cards. Perhaps we can get somebody, like we said, to write a song. We'll play it at all the weddings.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.